I was thinking about Jesus in this last week before before he went to the cross, and you know, he was a man. He was the Son of God. He's all powerful, all authority given to him. But man, he was sensitive, you know, and he was. I was thinking about the sweat and the blood, you know, the drops of blood, and that was an emotional. He was almost breaking down, wasn't he? It's almost being overcome. But I was looking at him even this last week that he went through, you know, and all the emotional roller coasters. We're going to look at some of the stuff that he said about himself, but just how necessary it was for him to not lose it. Have you ever thought about that? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't lose it in the last week? He lived 33 years. You know, wouldn't that have been terrible if he lived 33 years of his purpose? But he went all the way to it is finished, didn't he? But it required some things. And I was just thinking about we can take, because we're looking unto him, aren't we? He's our example. And he's our example because he was a man. Because he was subject to the same things that we go through. So when we're going through something, let's don't say, God, nobody understands. Jesus understands. And he overcame. Isn't that good? And we're going to see this. And the more we get our eyes on the prize, on what overcoming means and what where it takes us, I want to call this being established for stability. How many like that? Have you ever felt unstable? Right? So let me pray real quick. Father, we just love you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that in relationship with you, Father, he was equipped to finish his course, especially the hardest part of it, which was the last part. But he didn't fall. With joy, he made it all the way to the cross, and it wasn't just to the cross that he was going, though. He was going to us. There was a joy that was set before him. And so, Father, we thank you that we can take notes from what he did, and we can complete our course. You had something for him to do, and you have something for us to do. And Lord, we just want to be stable. We want to be unmoved by the things that would cause us to give up and quit. And thank you for helping us with this tonight. Your spirit is strong in each one of us. And Lord, we see that as a reality that we can base our life upon. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go to Acts 20:24. And again, I got quite a bit, so I'm going to be reading some stuff. Can everybody just, if you sense that your neighbor's kind of drifting a little bit, say, stabilize and give him a nice poke to stabilize, right? Don't fall. Don't give up on me. To finish a God-given course, you can't be moved by things. To be moved by God and by his spirit, wasn't it fun to sing about Holy Spirit, you know, come have your way? But, you know, to be moved by him, you can't be moved by other things. And sometimes we don't even recognize that other things. This kind of goes along with what we talked about on Sunday, right? That you can't let other things move you, or what they do is they disable you. They cause you to be unstable. So let's read here. But none of these things move me. He's talking about things he's going through in life, right? So the challenges that he's going through. And Paul's actually. So I see a correlation between Paul and Jesus, because what Jesus knew where he was going, didn't he? He's going to the cross. Paul knows where he's going. He's going to be put in chains. And he says, none of these things, they don't get me off my course, though. Because the course doesn't have to look good. The other at the end of the course is what we're going towards. Amen. Remember, Jesus even said this. He said, when he's praying to the Father, he said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. I just pray that you make them overcome. Is that right? So, when we're going to God in the middle of things, we don't necessarily need to ask that he take things away. Is that right? I mean, that's kind of what Jesus did. But make us strong in the middle of them. Help us to not fall at the time of trouble. Amen. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. That's a critical part of it. We make too much of our life. It's going to go by fast. So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is not just Paul's mission. This is our mission. Amen? We are ministers of grace. I'm so glad this is an eternal endeavor, that there's another side of it. But man, we have an opportunity that we either take advantage of and go towards it, or we're unstable and we fall away from it. All right. So let's go. Some of these are going to be some passages I want to just draw out. So from the triumphant entry to proclaiming fulfilled purpose. So Jesus went on the donkey again, and he went down. Everybody, you know what drew the crowd to him during this time was his reputation for raising Lazarus from the grave, right? Man, that was a famous thing. In fact, if you read in this chapter in John here, it says, and the religious people said, oh, we might as well give up. Look at, they're just following him now. So some of the things Jesus is fixing to do is going to secure his execution. He's going to make sure that they take him all the way to the cross. You know, going into the temple and flipping the tables, I mean, that had to just, and it even caused the people to wonder about him, you know, right? But let me read this. So he goes from the triumphant entry to, and these Greek people come to him and they want to meet him. And it's interesting that Jesus is really consumed with where he's going. For him to not fall away from where he's going, he's got to get a knot. He has to know the fullness of what it is and to keep it before his eyes. And it actually occupies his mouth, right? Look at this. It says, but Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Don't you like his description of his crucifixion? That he'll be glorified. Huh. But this is, because anytime there's a God thing going on that we're going towards, he can be glorified if we don't fall. Amen? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground, dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He's already rehearsing the purpose for his life. He says, I'm going to die, but when I die, it's going to make way for millions. He's looking at where he's going. Amen? But he doesn't just know that that is true. He declares it. And these people are probably, what in the world is he talking about? He's supposed to be like a king or something, right? He says, no, I'm fixing to go into the ground. I'm going to be a seed that produces much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So he's giving us another clue here, saying, you know what? For me, my sister actually, I think she wrote this. Well, she did this message about the body of Christ, how well he preserved it, so that when the blood came out of it, it was pure. He had to have loved what God had given him in his body and taking care of it. But he's getting ready to lay it down. For him to lay it down, he's going to have to realize that to try to hang on to this body right now is to lose what you're going towards. Yeah. Or to become unstable in getting there. Man, I just want to encourage us in this. You know, he's come to give us life and life abundantly. But life in this body can't be our focus. Can't be our, what we're determining is success or not, even spiritually. We got to be able to get above that and realize if we're going through something physically, if we're going through something financial, that doesn't move me. This is not my life. Amen? Because he says, if you're not ready to let go of what you think is so, or this temporary life that we're experiencing, and there's all different parts of it, he said, you don't get to have the real life. And why is he saying this? I think he's saying it for himself too. Remember, Jesus, why we're doing this. You're going to have to let go of this life that you spent 33 years on the earth with. Good. Amen? And what that causes him is to be able to not fall, to be stable. That's what we're going towards, right? Stability. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So what I saw him saying, he's saying, you know, you got to be able to lay down your life. Now, I'm saying this for myself. He said, but I want, he's making a declaration that you're going to follow me in this. What are we following Christ in? I just want to follow him in the good stuff, that all the promises that I want and everything, right? But no, but we're going to go through some things that can cause us to stumble. And the worst thing that we can have is not a loss of health or a loss of wealth. The worst thing we can have is to stumble in our faith. Is that right? And to not fulfill our mission that we've been given. To get diverted. We saw on Sunday that one of the biggest diversions from our purpose is having things too. It's not just the lack of them, but it's having them. Is that right? Jesus said, it's impossible for a rich person to get in if they're depending on their riches. He said, but with Christ, all things are possible. Let's go to John 12, 27 through 32. So this is just a little bit further down. So with a troubled soul, renewal of purpose maintains stability. Again, Jesus was emotionally, you'd think, really, the Son of God? I mean, he knew everything about where he's going. He knew all the scriptures. He could tell you everything, where he's coming, where he's going. And yet, he was getting overcome emotionally. And he was going through what we go through when we feel like giving up for some reason. Things in this life rise to make themselves to be mountains, don't they? And either we do what Jesus did, because Jesus, he gave us an example, and he was going through the same thing, right? All right, let's read this. John 12, 27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. He couldn't overcome anything unless he went through something. He had to go through the cross. He had to go through taking everything that we had so that he could overcome it. And he said, man, I want you to follow me in this. If you're going through something, don't get mad at God and say, God, take this away from me so that I will believe in you. That's the only thing about some of these stories. Like, you know, somebody says, I told God I would serve him if he would save my child or something like that, you know. And, you know, God's very merciful and he's very full of grace and he'll heal people. But once we know him, we don't tell him he has to do something for us to believe in him. Is that right? God, you don't have to take this away. That's what Jesus is saying. How can I call out to the Father and say, take this away from me if this is why I've been brought? Now, I believe we have authority. We can overcome things. Amen? Yes. But we're talking about being stable. What are we going to be stable in? If God said it, it doesn't matter what my soul's going through. Yes. Amen? I'm going to go back and we'll see this, okay? Therefore, the people who stood by, this is really cool. He says, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Wow, that's cool, huh? Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And then Jesus says this, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Oh, he's declaring his purpose, isn't he? I'll tell you what, there's something we can find out about who we are in Christ, the purpose that we have on this earth. It's like we saw on Sunday, there's nothing that's going to hold us back as long as we're with him. Amen? All right. Let me keep going here. 1 Corinthians 15. From Jesus' example is our way to stability. So let's look at, I'm just going to read through this. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. And what's he talking about? This natural body is going to die. And this is the wonderful thing about having somebody that you love really close that passes away. It makes you draw near to that reality that you know that they aren't dead. You know, Jesus was actually talking, and I saw this when Liddell was kind of going through some of this, Jesus was talking about that David said, "My Lord." And then he was, you know, talking about the Abraham and Moses, and he said, "He's not the Lord of the dead. He's the God of the living." Amen? Yeah. And so this is an essential part of not falling, of being stable up to the end. We will not all die. We'll be transformed. And it will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. Now, I'm reading this, and we're familiar with this. This is going to happen, but let's see where it goes here, okay? For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But listen to this. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, okay, we're familiar with that, and we usually stop there, don't we? Or we separate this next verse from that. But the reason we can be strong and immovable is because this life is not what we're about. Amen? That's like Abraham sacrificing his son. How could he do that? Because he knew about the resurrection life. He said, if I slay him, God will raise him. That's the kind of revelation it took. So he didn't fail. What if Abraham would have become unstable? Said, "You're talking about my son, God. You're making me mad. You're talking about my family. The one I was believing you for 100 years. Right? And you're the one that told me I was going to be a father of many nations. And now if I do this," you see how the perspective has to change. But we go there in a lot of ways. Start saying, "God, when are you going to?" What is that? That's instability. Why? Why, when, how? Those are all soul words, right? And God says, for all of your how, when, and whys, I've already given you an answer in my word. And if you really knew me, you would know it's not about that. It's not about that thing that you're how, why, and wondering about. Okay. Amen? All right. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So, what's he saying in regard to this? He's saying, you know those things that you think are so important that you're deciding to be up or down about? Right? He said, you start working with me, you start listening to what I'm giving you, and you'll be immovable. Because what I'm giving you to do is timeless. This life is going to be done. We're not supposed to be anxious about anything, are we? But in everything. With prayer, what are we doing? We're going to God and saying, God, this is what you said. I'm going to believe for that. Amen? And then our soul doesn't have to dominate where we're, our emotional state. Amen? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:11. To be unaffected by present circumstances, you have to fixate on what cannot be seen with the natural eye. This is so weird. I don't know if you remember back in, I think it was the last time I spoke on a Wednesday. I think it was back in January or something like that. anybody remember what I spoke on? I really like it. I think I might write a book about it. In fact, it's like, there is a seeing that is not these eyes that's required for going where God is going to take us. It's not that we just don't see, but we see through different eyes. In fact, you have to fixate on something different than what these eyes see. Amen? We've gotten so used to seeing with these eyes and reacting according to what we see. But if we do that, we'll be affected by what we see. Amen? Now, we don't have to just become idiots and not notice anything. Amen? But we have another place to look. We look away from that, don't we? 2 Corinthians 4:11. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death. And again, all these passages that we're talking about, I believe, are things that were a part of what Jesus was going through in that last week. It's about death, isn't it? In fact, let me just go back real quick. The previous passage we're talking about is the insignificance of death. Did you know that most fears we have are based upon death? Ultimately, there. And if you can get rid of a fear of death, I think God has this attitude. It says, don't talk to me about being afraid of dying. Because for you to die in your body is to be present with me. And you're really dishonoring me by acting like you're afraid of dying. Plus, you are saying that I can't do anything about that. I don't have anything to say about that. Maybe I want you to live. Maybe if you just trusted in me, right? So, all these things are looking at Jesus in his last week, right? To gain something about that will help us to be stable. We live under constant danger. Verse 12. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. How critical it is what we're saying. It's just like Jesus when that last week, he started declaring, said, I'm going through this, but it's a purpose. Amen? It's going towards something that's significant. Yeah. Praise God. Said, if I believe God, you're going to hear it coming out of my mouth. Amen? We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. Man, if that doesn't make us happy, we haven't been looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Because there's a joy that's set before us, isn't there? What is that joy? Oh, let's don't make it about stuff on this earth. Amen? The more we can get into the place where eternal life is where our joy comes from, the more we can dominate this life. Because we can speak to it with faith, because it's not something we're trying to get over. It's not something to acquire. Amen? And so it doesn't become a stumbling block for us on the way to something that is significant. Well, that's good. All of this is for your benefit, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. Man, this is what my life is about, he's saying. I'm not going to be moved by these things. That is why we never give up. We never stumble. We never fall. We never give up. Amen? Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. What's he saying? Every time I'm going through something that is challenging me on the outside, when I allow there to be an exalting of a glory from the inside, just them being there enables a glory that I wouldn't have had otherwise. If you can get on that side of it, can you see that? Instead of being a victim to what you're going through, you let it be a catalyst to where you're going to. Amen? So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. We don't look at those things. You know what he's saying? We can see them, but they're not deciding for us what we're going to do, how we're going to feel. Amen? Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Now, does that make sense, or is that like an oxymoron? That does, looks like an oxymoron, doesn't it? It's like, we fix our gaze on things that can't be seen. How do you fix your gaze on things that can't be seen? You live in a different realm. Amen? Why in the world would we want to be under the things of the natural when we can set our gaze somewhere else? Amen? For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I believe that's what the joy that was set before Jesus. Amen? That's what kept him going all the way through. He had to carry a cross. He said, now follow me. We're not going to have to carry a cross, but you know what? What if we did? Man, when I was growing up in the 70s, we were talking about communism, and we were doing these, you know, we had all these stories of people being in prison for years and all this kind of stuff, and we're saying, man, you know, what do we really believe? Because he doesn't promise that we'll not have tribulation, does he? But he does promise that we'll go through. How is that going to happen? Can't be looking at the tribulation. Got to be looking beyond it. Amen? Oh, man. God, give us a vision that is yours. Give us a vision that's beyond this natural. Amen? All right, Psalm 26:6. To be unshakable requires a fortress in him. I like this one. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. Okay, what is that fortress? Now, I know there's a high tower of refuge in the name of Jesus, but what is that? That's his fame. That's something about him. That's the stuff he's already done, isn't he? He's established a name. This is what my God does. You call out his name, what are you doing? You're calling out the reputation of who he is, what he's capable of, what he's going to do, and you run into it, and you find yourself safe from a fear, safe from a falling that would take you out. Amen? Amen. But let's look at where you find that, where you get revelation of that, because we can talk about that, and it's like, wow, that's really farmed out. You know, it's like, wow, cool. That's just blowing my mind. That's not helping at all, just to have that idea. Where do we get that? We get it in the Word of God, don't we? And let's just become cliches, things that we think we already know. Amen? We're not going to learn anything if we think we already know it. Right? His fortress is his word, Matthew 7:24-25. So he says, if you go into this, you're going to not fall. Is that right? That's what David was saying. He says, the Lord is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in, torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. What? It won't fall. It is stable. What is that? What is that fortress? What is that occupation? It's his word, isn't it? You can't abide, Jesus said this, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's how it went, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what, you'll have faith, is that right? You'll not be afraid of the circumstance. You'll not fall when things get bad. You'll not be anxious. But you'll find your refuge in a place that's in his word. Is that right? Ah, man, we have to be ravenous for his word. Amen? He said, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness with manna, but he said, I'm the one that came down to give you a sustenance that will be your strength. Amen? All right, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. This is one we're familiar with. Don't you like this? Eyes on Jesus are off the world. Don't you like that? That's kind of a good thought, isn't it? What happens when you put your eyes on Jesus? What happens when you lift up praise? You're taking it away from recognition of the world, aren't you? Have you ever practiced this just for fun? Like when your soul is crying out and you're like in anguish and it's like, oh, things are just really terrible. I don't know. Nobody knows the pain that I'm going through. And it's like, what was that? What was that old show? What was, oh, never mind. What was that old show that used to have a lot of music on it? Pain and Agony on Me. There we go. Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me, right? Thank you. Thank you, Mimi. Yeah, doom, Despair, and Agony on Me. And you know, as long as you're looking at that stuff, it's just going to overwhelm you. I don't want to be insensitive because we go through this, don't we? Amen? But what happens? Have you ever tried this? Just practice it next time you start feeling that coming on. Just start looking unto Jesus. Just start praising him for something actually that you're actually going through, that he's already provided for. And it's amazing how that thing that was like a weight on you, it just kind of lifts. You put on a garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, right? Amen? And it's coming from his word. It's coming from something that is not going to change. It's never going to change. It's defiant to any kind of adversity, isn't it? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. How do we do that? We get rid of those things by looking elsewhere, don't we? Now, sometimes we separate this passage also and we say, okay, man, before I can even look to Jesus, I have to start stripping stuff off. Man, this is a chore. But how do you get the weights off? You look up. Amen? Let's strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And again, we're not going to get rid of sin on our own. You know, we have to make some choices, but what is the greatest choice we can have? To look unto him. Amen? And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. What does that mean? I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to trip. I'm going to be stable. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. I'm telling you what, there's stuff. What is shame? That's the thing that it's doing to your emotions, to your soul. You say, you are not my Lord. You earthly circumstance are not my Lord. Amen? And I just want to interject this real quick. And God sees this. He enabled this in for us in Christ because we do have a purpose until our last breath on this earth. It is to glorify God. Amen? What happens when our soul is overcome? We can't glorify God. Somebody's going through something. We can't even bring grace to them because we're so underneath the circumstances ourselves. We don't even believe in grace. Is that right? Because God has a significant reason why you need to turn to him. That's you first, but somebody else on the other side of it. It needs to be that when we're looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, what was that? Somebody else besides him. Is that right? The joy that he set before him was somebody else besides him. I believe that needs to be part of the joy that we set before us. Amen? Somebody besides me needs me to not stumble, to not give up on God, to not keep looking at these things. Is that right? Okay. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. I'll tell you what, there's that this needs to be something that it is a reality, but that we let it become part of our fixation. Being with him. Amen. So I've just got some passages out of Revelation. I just want to read through. Are y'all doing good? Maybe I can do them in 4 minutes. Let's see. This has been good though, huh? All right. This is talking about those who overcome. And what are those that are overcoming? You know, aren't you grateful that by grace we've been secured in the love of God? But there is something about overcoming, what we're talking about tonight. There are rewards. I don't understand them all, but there are rewards for doing what we're talking about now. Did you know that Jesus wouldn't be sitting where he is right now if he had given up? I mean, according to what he kept on till he could say, it's finished. There's an it's finished for us that's going to require us not falling. Amen? Can we be encouraged tonight? So here's some of the stuff we can look forward to, all right? And he's talking to the church here. This isn't the world. He's talking to us. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. How many have ears? How many know that it takes more than just an ear to hear? Amen? You actually have to say, I heard that? That's kind of like faith comes by how? Did you know what? It dies by not doing. It can come, but it's not doing you any good till you do something with it. Is that right? All right. All right. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Man, that's another farmed out phrase there, isn't it? It's like, wow, that's cool. But it needs to be something we're looking towards, amen? This is the end. This is where we're going. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Cool, man. All right. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Wow. Isn't it going to be fun to get real revelation and actually see these things come to pass in a way that's reality? And he who overcomes, Revelation 26 through 8, 2, 26 through 28, he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Well, how many want a morning star? Wow. Again, this stuff is lofty, isn't it? But this is where we're going. All right, let's look away. He who overcomes, doesn't fall, keeps pressing towards the mark, keeps fulfilling their purpose, doesn't give up and say, I guess I can't. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. Wow. Okay. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. This is Jesus talking, isn't it? He said, I'm going to do these things for these people. Man, this is kind of a big deal, isn't it? That we don't let the menial things of this life overwhelm our spirits by means of crushing our souls. Amen? Our spirits are where we've been made one with Christ, but our souls can crush our spirits if we allow them to be meditating on those things that we can see. Amen?